So there are almost like 8 billion people on this earth. And if even like a very small fraction of us did a 1% better for ourselves or to somebody else every day, like what that ripple effect would do. So Michael and I, just in our lives in general, we just try to be 1% better every day. So whether that's with our property management company and how our property management company then serves the residents, like how we underwrite our property so that we can ensure that the residents want something. We just really try to look at situations with what is the impact that we can make and how can we try to influence others to do it as well.
Welcome to the Prosperity Through Multifamily Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by Blue Oak Capital. If you are looking to take your real estate investing to the next level and learn how you can achieve your financial success by investing in multifamily real estate, then this show is for you. Our mission is to help you improve your education and learn proven strategies from industry leaders to help you master multifamily investing. Now, here's your hosts, Cody Laughlin, John Beatty, and Brian Alfaro.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Prosperity Through Multifamily Real Estate Investing Podcast. I am your host, Real Estate Cody, and with me, as always, the coffee connoisseur himself, Mr. Brian Alfaro. How you doing, my friend?
Cody, I am doing awesome. We've got some awesome things in the works, some big plans for quarter four in 2022. So it couldn't be a better day.
I know that's right. We need more time in the day, though. Can we buy more time? Is that possible? We
I
buy
don't
buildings, but we need to buy time.
think that one's possible yet, but maybe one day.
One day, cool. Well, hey, man, I'm really excited about our guest today. We got some mutual friends here on that we've been connected for a while, and so really interested to have them share their story. So tell us who that is.
Absolutely. Today we have Michael Barnhart and Susie Sevrier, and they are the founders of Adventurous Real Estate Investors. They specialize in return on impact. I'm looking forward to talking about that. It's a different ROI. Through real estate investing, they create immeasurable impacts in their family, with their friends, in their community, with the family residents they serve, in the spaces where they want to be generous everywhere and anywhere. Welcome to the show.
And thank you so much, Brian and Cody. Really looking forward to being able to provide value to your listeners.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you guys. I know we were talking before the show. We've had a couple attempts to try to get you guys on, and we've ran into some scheduling conflicts. Most notably because you guys are abroad, you're not here in the States, which I'm going to love to dive into as well. So tell the audience a little bit more about your background and your story.
Absolutely. So Michael and I do live across the pond. We are in Cambridge, England. What brought us here is Michael is active duty Air Force and he's getting his PhD over here at the University of Cambridge. And while we are over here, I am a program manager for a biotech company, but only for 4 more days. And then I'm going into real estate investing full time. So
Congrats.
thanks. Yeah, really excited. It was just, the whole like wanting to be my own boss, be that entrepreneur, like just create more for our family just seemed much more appealing than working for someone else. So it worked out pretty well.
Well, that is awfully exciting. And, Michael, we always like to thank our military service men and women for your service. So really appreciate that. Susie, that's phenomenal. I can't, that's got to be an exciting day counting down those hours just to get out of that W-2. That's the dream for everybody. And Michael, PhD, I mean, oh man, God bless you, buddy.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. But I will say, Brian and Cody, you guys are talking about buying time at the beginning of the show. And Susie's effectively done that, right? We've bought enough buildings. You joked about buying buildings and versus buying time. Effectively bought enough buildings, which has created enough cash flow where Susie can leave her job and do this full time, right? So she's effectively bought time by buying buildings.
Yeah, the great point. And that's, again, that's the magic of what we do, right? And that's the power of real estate and what it allows us to leverage. And again, it's the goal for all of us. I mean, when you can control that time, I mean, it changes your entire life, both business and personal. So that's amazing. And I want to go back and really kind of kick off our conversation, just again, highlighting the fact that you guys are in Cambridge. You have your personal lives going on, and but you're also, building a very substantial real estate business with a lot of momentum. And at the day of this recording, we're just talking to before the show, right? You guys just announced another closing, and at least we've, Brian, what we've known Michael and Susie now for over a year.
Yep.
And from the time that we've connected with you, I mean, you guys have done several different deals now, all from afar. So I want to really kind of start off from there. You know, tell us, you know, kind of where the real estate journey really started for you guys in correlation with your being abroad.
No, absolutely. And it actually has to do with time. So this will work out really well. So because of COVID-19 and the lockdowns, for the first one over here, it was a little over 100 days, but ours was much different than like what the US really experienced. So everybody was sent home from work. And if you could work from home, then you were asked to, but if you couldn't, you know, you had that time. And so I had yet to begin my position, and Michael like had to write his first year report. But then after that, I was like, the sky was the limit. And so once he was done with that report, we were like, okay, well, we can only go outside once a day to work out, go to the grocery store, go to the pharmacy. And we aren't like television people. We like to read. And so we're like, okay, let's have a mini book club with each other. And a couple books in, the book was Multiple Streams of Income by Robert Allen. And like a few chapters in, it talks about real estate investing. And what we would do is that Michael would read the book and then I would read the book. But once he got to finish that chapter portion, he was like, you have to read this. We need to do this right now. And I was just like, okay, you know, like, why not? What else are we going to do in lockdown? And so from there, we found out that like the world of real estate and really the a lot of the world that can go virtual did. And so like we dove in straight into bigger pockets and like just found, you know, this whole community. And from there, we connected in different groups on Facebook and like made personalized individual connections from there. And we actually met somebody who's also living in the UK. His name is Marcus Long. And he was like, well, I've actually ramped up my investing since I moved here. And we're like, wait a second, what? So like we knew it was possible. And so just like from that, we figured out what we were going to do. And initially we were going to actually do single family homes. And we had set a market up and everything. Like we had the whole entire team, but an inland hurricane went through the city, which was really devastating for the city. And those two properties that we had under contract just fell out because the contractors, like we needed a bid for financing and the contractors had just said like, we are going to work on the, like our homes, our family homes in the city. And we're like, that's totally understandable. That's totally okay. But we decided to like pivot instead of panic. And that's when we decided to go into multifamily because that had been a 5-year goal for us. And we're like, you know, we've set up a team. It can't be that much more work, you know, like, yes, you have the capital raising piece, but like you essentially, we needed a team. We needed a boots on the ground. And since we had already found like 5 people in Cedar Rapids, Iowa to do that, why could we not do that again for multifamily? And so then just everything that we were educating ourselves on changed, what we were talking about when we were like on social media changed, like the conferences that we were now attending changed. And like, we just changed, I guess, our whole entire mindset and told ourselves, like, we keep seeing people in the space who like look like us, talk like us, you know, they have similar backgrounds as we do. So there's no reason why somebody in Washington can't invest in Florida than if we want to invest from over here to the States. And I guess like from there, because now when we pivoted, that was August of 2020. And from today, we now have 3 different assets totaling 196 units. But what we are like the most proud of is that now we get to like create that 1% impact on 96 different people or families. Cause that's like the main goal, right? How can we positively impact all of the residents in their own way?
Such a great, great story. And Brian, how many people that you know have started a real estate business in 2020 during COVID that are having that type of momentum? Not a whole lot of people, right?
No, definitely not a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, number one, just to take action the way that you guys did obviously is so important, but then to do it in the midst of a pandemic, you know, you guys are across the seas over there. And that's a lot of limiting beliefs too, right? As a lot of people think that, I'm restricted to whatever region or market. And here you guys are halfway, feels like halfway across the world to us, you know, out there just absolutely crushing it. And I love this comment you made or this phrase, pivot instead of panic. And that is such a powerful statement because I think a lot of times that's exactly what people do. Things don't go quite as well, they don't plan for, and your innate response is panic, right? But to be able to really identify that, strategically pivot and not even miss a beat is incredible. So, man, great job. That's exciting.
No, thank you for that. And I like a big difference too, is that even over here, we had a total of 3 lockdowns. So there were quite a few. So the way we looked at it was that we saw the US like slowly opening up just in different states, right? And it was like, okay, we have to take advantage of every single day. Like if we woke up and people decided like, oh, we no longer want to have virtual meetups or conferences, would we feel satisfied with the work that we already put in? And I think that's like, that was the biggest mindset shift, is knowing or thinking that if it could have gotten taken away, would we be satisfied? Because like we know our end goal, and sometimes people don't, and that's totally okay. But because I don't want to go one day after our end goal, it was just like a no-brainer. And that's why we also heavily believe that people should kind of know what they want at the end. Like, what are you striving for? What is your final plan? What does the end look like? Because it really helps you wake up, especially for those 3:30 a.m. podcast recordings, you know, to be able to push further and to get out of bed. Like, I mean, especially here, right in the winter, the sun doesn't come up till 8:30 and it starts to go down at 3:30. Like, you need that push when there's no sunlight.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, having the end in mind is so important, right? And having that big vision and really building an infrastructure for your business now where you want to be, right? And I think that's, a lot of people are slow to recognize that, and then you kind of fumble along the way. But like you guys, you're ready, fire, aim, you're taking massive action, you're building an infrastructure. I mean, I'd imagine you guys have to be forced to build an infrastructure with great systems to maximize your efficiency because you are doing this so far. So I want to kind of dive into a little bit of that, as well as talking about some of the systems you guys are incorporating to allow you to work so efficiently.
Yeah, absolutely, Cody. So because we were overseas and because we're 4,000 miles away from our property, it like forced us to create the systems and processes and perfect those, right? Because I feel like sometimes when your property is just down the street or something like that, like maybe you're not thinking about the systems and processes you need to put in place because, hey, you can just drop by and you can see what you want to see, right? Instead of having somebody do that for you, right? Which then it ends up eating more of your time and things like that. And so like, I think what the systems and processes, I'll get into those in a second, but what we're doing now is like creating those and perfecting those now from 4,000 miles away, because our end goal is to be able to do this from anywhere in the world, whether that's in Thailand or Australia or New Zealand. Apparently a lot of real estate investors love to go to New Zealand. We can talk about that later too, but you know, if we're doing it 4,000 miles away, why can't we do it 10 or 12, 15,000 miles away? What's the difference? Just a couple time zones, right? And so we are perfecting our systems and processes now so that when we choose to start moving around more and more around the world, we have those already in place. And for example, for your listeners, like your listeners probably hear that often, right? Like people, systems and processes, you can put those in place, right? So one simple thing that we did is after we closed on an asset, we sat down, we went through all 750 plus emails, and we literally wrote down step by step, okay, this is what happened pre-LOI, this is what happened during the LOI negotiation, this was to happen once the LOI is accepted, like broke it down into like sections, wrote everything out, right? And so that is a process now that we have in place. And so when we close on the next property, we just copy and paste that. It's in Asana, which is a project management tool. We copy that whole project over to a new project, which is our new asset acquisition. And then we just literally go through the same things. And yes, everything does change from deal to deal, but the bare bones are there, right? And you just adjust it as needed. Another thing that we do is like when we're looking at property, because we're not physically there, we knew we had to come up with some kind of process or some kind of system that when our boots on the ground went to look at the asset before we submitted an LOI, we knew there were several questions we wanted answered beforehand. And so like we said, okay, you need to write down the serial numbers of these AC units. You need to find out how old they are. We need to take a picture of this roof here or that roof there, or take a picture of the concrete sidewalks and the parking lot, right? Like anything that you can take a picture of, we need a picture of, and here's the checklist, right? So we wrote out a checklist. And no, Susie and I didn't make these things up, right? We didn't sit down and we're like, here are all the things that we wish, because we had no idea, right? And so what we did was search out other operators who were crushing it. And we say, okay, they have a list somewhere. They have free material. Everybody has free material out there. They're putting out some kind of list, right? So you just go and download their list or or whatever material they're giving out. And you can usually find some, like some kind of due diligence checklist or something, right? Or property walk checklist. And so we downloaded all those and compiled all those and took all the best things that we wanted out of those and put them into our own system now, and like in our whole, this whole process. And so now when our boots on the ground goes and walks a property, he knows exactly what he needs to take a picture of. And then he uploads it to a certain folder on Google Drive or on Asana, however we decide to put it together. And then he checks that off, right? And he just goes through a checklist. And so now all of our questions, since I do all the underwriting and I handle the majority of the acquisitions, now I can have all my questions answered. And so those are just like two examples of systems and processes we have in place now. I'd be happy to chat more about that as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's great. And Brian, I mean, what you think is we're so big on systems, right? And you're absolutely right, Michael. I mean, you hear it repetitively, but there's a reason why you hear it repetitively, because you don't understand how important it is, especially if you're looking to scale. So like the model that you guys, or the framework that you guys put together, like you said, the one key thing there is it's replicatable, right? It's duplicatable. So I know, Brian, again, we're very big into those systems, right?
Yeah. And I would argue that that's a big reason why you two have found success early, is because you did a good job laying a foundation. Even though in real estate, we do sometimes ready, fire, aim, you still want to have some sort of foundation in place to say like, okay, when I'm submitting my LOI, what's my checklist? If they tell me I'm in best and final, what's my checklist? If I get my offer accepted, what's the checklist, right? So you just sort of systematize everything so that you essentially make sure that you leave no stone unturned, because as you guys know, the last thing you want and when you're going through a transaction is a surprise, a bad surprise, right? Good surprises are nice, but bad surprises are not so nice. So I think you guys have had that success because you've done an awesome job setting up those systems. And I'm sure, as you know, the more you execute them, that you start to refine them and they just get better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a checklist is like a very small task. If you were to say like, you know, if you put like a dollar value to it, you know, it could be like a $15 value. Like that's really what the checklist is. So when we don't make those, you have to remember all of those tasks, which are very low, you know, amount tasks, where then your like brain is clouded and foggy and you can't always come up with like those great, you know, $1 million ideas. And that's really a huge part of it too. It's like, what can leave my brain and easily be there? You know, what can be duplicated? Because those are the tasks that you either will one need to outsource or two just write down, because they all can have a home and they're happy and warm in that home.
Yeah. Just to piggyback off of that as well, is like, you know, Einstein always said, you know, the brain is for creating, not remembering, right? And so it's been quoted that like, he's been asked what the speed of light is. Like, what is the actual number of speed of light? And he's like, I don't need to know that. You know why? Because I know where the book is that has that information, right? I can forget about all those numbers and all that other useless information. And it leaves my brain clear to be able to create and focus on things that I want to focus on.
Yeah, yeah. Powerful philosophy there. Love that.
Hey guys, it's your host Cody, and I wanted to take a few seconds to ask you a very important question. Do you really know how to evaluate a passive investment opportunity when it has been presented to you? We all know passively investing is a great way to invest in multifamily real estate, but do you really understand the intricacies of passively investing in these private placement offerings? Sure, there's a ton of education on how to buy apartments, but not enough education on how to effectively evaluate a private placement offering when considering a passive investment opportunity. With the ever-growing number of syndicators entering into the multifamily space, it is important that you have a fundamental understanding on how to protect your interests and, most importantly, your capital when investing in these private placement offerings. If you want to learn how to passively invest like the pros and avoid the pitfalls of many novice investors, then check out our free investor guide titled How Savvy Investors Evaluate Multifamily Deals on our website at www.blueoakinvest.com/evaluate to learn how you can confidently evaluate your next passive investment offering. Now back to the show.
I want to go back, guys, and get in. So love the framework, love the systems, completely agree. We're actually familiar with some of the systems you guys are using as well, the platforms, if anything, Asana, we've had some experience with that. There's some other great platforms out there, but you know, you're relying on relationships here, which obviously that's every part of our business, but you're really depending on people to be those boots on the grounds to kind of go through those checklists and help you guys navigate your framework. Talk to me a little bit about how you develop those relationships and those partnerships to find those dependable people, Because it's not like you said, you can't go meet these people at a coffee shop just on any given day. So how did you guys find those relationships and people that you felt comfortable working with?
Yeah, so the first, you know, our first boots on the ground, we found him by just posting on Facebook, actually, social media, just posting that, hey, we're real estate investors. We're moving into this realm. We're looking at multifamily, just posting everything about us and what we're doing or what we're planning on doing, right? And then basically people were coming out of the woodworks at that point, right? Like old friends and things like that. Like, oh my gosh, you're in real estate investing. So am I. Like, I invest here or whatever. I do this. I'm a single family or multifamily. And so one of my old classmates from college reached out and was like, hey, I'm looking to pivot into multifamily as well. And he's like, he's a wholesaler and flipper. So he has like some construction management background and stuff like that. And so, you know, we reached out and we connected and just caught up and we actually aligned on several different things. And so it was already somebody that I've known for like 16 years. And we went through like basic training together too for the Air Force, right? Like for the Air Force Academy they went to. And so we were like close. For everybody who's listening, I'm like crossing my fingers. Like we were pretty close. Like we were literally doing push-ups together. His like feet were under my chest because we were holding it for like an hour, right? You know? So like we were like helping each other out that way. So like we had a very special bond that way. And so it was somebody that I already knew, somebody that I already liked, and somebody that I already trusted. And so it was a very easy answer when we decided to partner up on the first acquisition. And he was already in Oklahoma City. That's why Oklahoma City and Tulsa became our markets. And we were kind of niching down now in those two markets and we really enjoy them. So yeah, that's kind of how we met our first boots on ground. Now we were just networking so much. And the great thing about multifamily too is like you can do deals with certain people. And you can test out that relationship, right? Yes, you don't need to hop in a deal immediately with somebody that you don't know completely, that you don't know, you don't like, and you don't trust. But, you know, you might have that know, like, and trust factor there. And then, you know, a year down the road or a couple months down the road, you're like, oh, I don't like this way. Or maybe you clash head, you know, butt heads on certain other things, whatever. But that's the great thing about multifamily. It's like, you don't have to keep doing deals with the same people. You can pop around and do deals with other people. And so now we've kind of tested the waters with some other people and now we might be pivoting to, you know, partner with some other people. So.
Well, and even just because people grow differently as well, right? So like, if you want to be able to grow, you have to have the people on your team who want that also and can do that with you. And there's nothing like against them or anything because everyone is on their own path, but it's just like, okay, well, if we can't do this together, then we'll obviously have to do it with somebody else. Yeah. And that's totally okay.
Absolutely. You know, Brian, what I heard out of that story is when you're building relationships, you got to first tell the world what it is you're doing. They got to know who you are and you got to tell the world. And I know, Brian, we just did that podcast episode a couple of weeks ago talking about what's the icebreaker? How do you build those relationships, right? How do you go raise capital? And it all starts with you got to tell people who you are, what you're doing. And so,
yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, when I'm listening to you to talk, the number one thing that keeps popping in my head is, no excuses. There's no excuses, right? We talk to newer real estate investors, not that we're, you know, seasoned veterans or anything, but people that are literally just entering the space today, yesterday, right? And a lot of times they have excuses. You know, they work a W-2. You both work a W-2, right? You guys are overseas. You're thousands and thousands of miles away and you're finding ways to make it happen one way or another. It's such a powerful story. And I think a lot of people need to, you know, listen and make sure that they're implementing the things that you're talking about. Putting systems in place. And then really, we say this all the time too, is letting the world know what you do, because a lot of people, they start assuming that people know what they're doing, but they don't. You have to tell the world what your superpower is. Are you a deal finder? Are you an asset manager? Are you boots on the ground? Are you a capital raiser? Unless the world knows what you're doing, it's really hard for me to want to partner with you when I don't know what skill set you bring to the table. So kudos to you two for putting that out there in the world and just letting people know what you do. I think that's one of the best ways to get started.
Because we put ourselves out there so much, like we were very strict on our criteria. We knew we had our criteria nailed down, like what we were looking for, like, you know, which asset class, the unit size, the deal, the size we were trying to take down and things like that. In what areas and what markets. And like, we kept telling everybody our criteria and the markets we're interested in, right? We just kept telling it over and over and over again. Every time we got into a networking call, whatever, or hopped on a call, with Brian and Cody, when I first met you guys in one-on-one, like, you know, that was the first thing where we talk about like which markets we're investing in, which kind of deals we're looking for, like tell everybody that, right? And then just by doing that in a networking call, by telling everybody we're interested in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, like that actually brought about an introduction to us for a very successful syndicator in that area, which ended up becoming our mentor, organic mentor, you know, somebody that I just ended up building a relationship with through a random introduction, because like this guy was like, hey, I know somebody who's investing in Tulsa as well. He's a really successful guy. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna connect you to, right? So he made a connection and now he's our mentor. And now I chat with him like every other day. It's just, this is an incredible relationship that built by just telling the world what you're doing, not just assuming everybody knows what you're doing.
Michael, you just brought up a really good point about being intentful and being very specific in your, who you are as a team, but you know, your message that you're sharing with people. And I think, you know, we hear this often from people and you ask them, okay, great, what are you interested in? And you get this very wide range or very vague answer, right? Oh, I'm looking at 50 to 400 doors and I'll go to any market. And hey, great, if that's your thesis, that's cool. I'm not judging. But when you can be that targeted and that specific and that intentful, that's what really helps you cement the right relationships that you need to help you grow. And just as you mentioned, you found a mentor, you found somebody that's in your markets that has that experience. And then boom, here you guys are, you know, you're moving with such velocity in such a short period of time. So really, really appreciate you bringing that up. I think that's a great nugget there. So now going back to your systems though, you know, you have great systems in place. You got a great framework, but behind the systems are the people, you two, right? And so husband and wife duo, love it, which I always tell people, you know, couples that can do this together are so much more successful than those who are trying to fly individually. So good job, number one.
Thanks.
But number two, each of you guys, I'm sure, bring a different skill set to your partnership from a business perspective. I think, Michael, you mentioned acquisitions. And Susie, I want to kind of get a little bit more into both of what is those superpowers that Brian was alluding to a second ago for each of you.
Yeah, I mean, so yes, you're correct. So Michael does acquisitions and like broker relations, and I do investor relations and marketing. But for me, I think like my superpower is listening. And so that is how that all comes in with investor relations and marketing, because I'm like taking the time to have these calls and hear what people are saying. You hear a consistent theme of what people want in real estate investing, you know, and majority of the time, that's why, and they want to make a difference somewhere in their life, which once you hear that, your conversations change with like investors going forward, but your conversation also changes like when you are having conversations about your business, when it has to do to marketing, you know. So I'm not going to talk about like how I can make you rich before you die, because nobody has ever told me that, you know? So it's like truly listening and taking that information and just repurposing it everywhere. That's truly, truly what's worked. And when you create a space where you allow people to actually just talk about themselves, because like we all just want to be like heard and acknowledged as humans, like people actually just convince themselves of like why they want to invest in real estate. You know, like a lot of people are on the fence, but when they hear themselves give the reasons why they want to do it, like it naturally just comes out. And at the end, they're kind of like, yeah, I'm ready. Like, how could you not be? You know, you just gave me like five reasons of why you want this. Or like, we've had plenty of calls where people have like cried because like, they just want to make like such a big impact, even just in their family. And with that, like, it's hard to say like, oh, well, actually I'm not going to move forward. All the reasons I just told you about like the impact I want to make, I'm not going to do it. I've unconvinced myself at this point.
That's a really, really awesome power to have and a skill set to have, right? Believe it or not, being an active listener is a skill. And I think, especially in the investor relations, Brian, you remember we were just talking about this, right? Where a lot of people come off and it's very transactional. And that's not the perception that you want to be given out when you're meeting and networking new investors, right?
I think that's such a phenomenal point. You know, being an active listener is so important, because we talk to a lot of people in our business, and sometimes those people we talk to might not be the best business partner for us or the best investor for us, but that's okay. Our job is to connect people with people in our circle who maybe are, right? So for example, maybe if you're talking to an investor and they're looking for, you know, an A-class opportunity, and you know you're only looking at value add B and C class, but you know somebody who's maybe doing A-class, right? By listening intently and adding value to them by connecting them with that other person, you know, you can still have a tremendous impact that you were intending on having in the first place. And, you know, we like to say what goes around comes around too, right? So connecting the dots and connecting two people together can often, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, maybe they connect you with somebody in their circle that's an investor. Maybe they come back and decide they want to diversify their portfolio and put some more riskier, you know, value add plays in their thing. So I think being a great listener is definitely a skill set that we all need to make sure we're having, even if we're not in investor relations, even in acquisitions, right? Listening intently to what the broker is saying, what are the little nuggets they're sort of dropping, sometimes unintentionally and then sometimes intentionally as well. Wouldn't you agree, Cody?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And by the way, Susie, you know, if you're handling the market as well, you guys are doing a phenomenal job of the marketing end as well. For anybody that doesn't know, again, you have such a great brand presence. So good job there. So Michael, I'm going to kick it over to you for a few, man, and talk about the acquisition side. You're going through a PhD program, a doctorate program, which is, I can imagine, pretty labor intensive. You're in the service. And of course, we talked about you guys being a FAR. So acquisitions, man, it's a lot of work. And I know because it's, you know, constantly, you know, being engaged with brokers, underwriting and things like that, and being timely in that follow up. But, you know, talk to us a little bit more about some of your role in acquisitions. And really, are you, what challenges are you coming across, if any, with managing the day to day, you guys being over there far and trying to be engaged with brokers here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start off by saying, I think my superpower is attention to detail. The reason why I say that is because I've been through three basic trainings for the military, right? So I went through enlisted basic training for the Air Force. I've been through basic training for the prep school before I went to the Air Force Academy, and then basic training for the Air Force Academy. So I spent like over 200 days in basic training, right? So like the number one thing that they teach you in basic training is like attention to detail, right? So like whether that's like making sure that your socks smile the correct way as you fold them, making sure that your t-shirts are folded at exactly 9 inches squares, right? Like things like that. And then making sure that it's all measured correctly, and then making sure you know how to dust your room properly. Like, so like all those like little attention to detail things have been ingrained in my head. And now maybe it's a curse now because I do notice like all those little tiny details. But it's also a blessing, right? Because I'm able to pick up on things. So like, it does help me in science, right? Like being able to, you know, create presentations and look at data very objectively as well. And then also when it comes to underwriting, you know, these multi-million dollar deals, right? Making sure that all T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, right? Because when you have fiduciary responsibility, right? When you're raising so much money from investors, you want to make sure you have all of that in line. And that is one of my strengths in my blueprint. And I really do play to that a lot. As far as keeping up with brokers and things like that, it can be a challenge, but I was able to build quite a few relationships before everything kind of went back in person. And I was able to reach out to brokers during like the COVID time when everybody was able to hop on a Zoom call and things like that. And you didn't need to meet a broker for coffee or dinner or lunch or whatever. Like I built some relationships. And now that we've closed on several properties, those relationships can be built a lot easier via 4,000 miles away and not have to be in that specific market.
Funny how when you close on some things, they listen a little better, isn't it?
Yeah. they come out of the woodwork. I have like 4 emails from people like the next morning after we close on our first asset, right? Like, hey, let's hop on a call and chat. You know, it's like, okay, now I never have to go looking for deals, right? I mean, I still maintain relationships with the key brokers that I appreciate, and I know that they control quite a bit of volume in the market. I maintain those relationships, but the other brokers, they just bring you deals now. You're like, hey, take a look at this, right?
Yeah, you've basically cemented your credibility, right? Is by getting the first one done. And that's what they want to know is, hey, can you close? Can you be a closer? And can you be somebody that we can depend on to be a buyer? And I mean, you guys proven that by, you know, just get the first one done and keep going off that. And I love that. And, you know, as far as the attention to detail, you're absolutely right. I think any aspect of this business, especially when it comes to the analysis of an asset, is precision, you know, and that's what our underwriting and things is you want to be as precise as you can. It's not going to be perfect, and there's going to be things that you can't predict or model, but the more precise you can be, like you said, the more accurate you can be in your analysis and valuation, the better responsibility or the better hedge you're going to have for your investors and be able to protect, you know, you guys and their interests as well. So that's really important. So I love your superpowers, guys. I mean, you guys got a very dynamic team here. And I mean, and it shows, obviously, you know, starting in August of 2020 through pandemic, and now you guys are at 196 units, 3 assets, closed on another one officially today. So, I mean, just rocking with a lot of momentum. Love what you guys are doing. So, but let's kind of talk about really one of the things that we mentioned in your bio. And I think you've already kind of dropped some hints here and there throughout our conversation is the return on impact and, you know, really, really powerful philosophy there. Tell us a little bit more about, I guess, the motivation behind that return on the impact.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you so much for asking. So the motivation behind it is that there are almost like 8 billion people on this earth. And if even like a very small fraction of us like did a 1% better for ourselves or to somebody else every day, like what that ripple effect would do. And so Michael and I, like just in our lives in general, we just try to be 1% better every day. So whether that's with our property management company and how our property management company then serves the residents, like how we underwrite our property so that we can ensure that the residents want something, you know, like even for example, right? Like when we take over the property, we do a resident survey so we can learn what they actually want and what they actually need. Like we're trying to make the community at least 1% better for them. But then with that too, like just creating content so that people who are new in this space can like gain that confidence in order to be 1% better themselves. So it's, we just really try to look at situations with what is the impact that we can make and how can we try to influence others to do it as well. So like for our first two acquisitions, the biggest one was putting in unit connections for washers and dryers and then putting in the washers and dryers as well, just because during COVID, during our runs, either the laundromat was closed or like three of them were open. And it's like, wow, what a horrible situation. If those three are busy when you want to go there, you're waiting like more hours. You're wasting more hours just to wait until they're open. And so we're like, what can a family actually do if they can gain that time back? Even if it's an extra 4 hours, that's a lot for some people, you know, instead of having to like go outside and into a new space. So we really just try to think with every business plan, like what can we do to make the lives of the residents better, whether they know that it's happening or not? You know, we're just trying to make sure that it can be added into that business plan or even adding like resident events, because that's huge. We want them to feel like it's a community. You know, like the biggest compliment that you can get is when somebody wants to sign their lease again. And so we just want to create a space where that's actually happening.
You know, this is such a great conversation because Brian and I talk about this all the time as well, is, and we're very big believers in your philosophy, right? Is you have to approach this business for more than just the monetary value, right? It can't just be about your own interests, because you have a platform and a vertical and connection with people that allows you to, as you mentioned, positively impact the lives of whether it's the residents you serve in your communities, the people that you're networking with and partnering with, you know, whether that be passive or active investors. You have a tremendous opportunity to use this platform and this investment vertical as a way just to make the world better. And like you said, even 1% a day, it sounds like a small number, but if you multiply that over 365 days, that's a massive, massive impact. Brian, what do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's something to be said about, you know, you use the term compound interest, right? If you just make a little bit of progress every day, it can be hard, because I know there are days where I'm sure the four of us want to like hit our heads on the wall because maybe something didn't go our way, or, you know, maybe you had a really long day and you're really tired and you're not really feeling like you took one step forward. But the reality is every day you wake up and you put the effort in, you are making yourself 1% better. And if you're consciously aware, you know, you're reading books, you're talking to people, you're making sure your mindset is right, and you're just trying to impact the community in a better way, whether it's like we said, the investors we network with or the communities, the properties that we actually manage, you're going to look back in 5 years and you're going to be like, holy cow, who was I back then? And you're going to really be able to reflect and see the tremendous progress you've made. So there's definitely something to be said about that philosophy. I know Cody and I definitely align with it. We love it.
Yeah. And listen, like we said earlier, right? Good things come back around, right? When you're out there being a good servant to others, that tends to come back around. And not to say that we go out doing this for our own selfish benefit, but it's a rewarding thing when it, you know, you go out there and you do impact the people that you serve, and then you find out that it gets reciprocated in some way, and everybody wins in that scenario. So that's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, like money should be used as like a tool to do good in the world. So the more people who are out there, you know, just ensuring that more good in the world is happening, like then hopefully one day, you know, money can even be like talked about and not seen as like this evil.
Sure. You know, and let me tell you, it's very visible what you do in your business when you carry the same philosophy that you guys do, right? Where you're trying to make a positive impact on these communities, for example. you could tell the difference between those who are carrying the same type of philosophy versus those who are just in this strictly for the financial benefit and aspect, because the quality of the communities show, right? Whether that be in the residents, whether that be in the physical characteristics of the place. But I know, Brian, how many properties have we toured that, you know, from successful operators that you're like, holy smokes, like this is a slumlord type of operation. And then you go to communities that really you can just, you feel the culture within the community. You feel the impact and the positive vibe there. And I think that's is so important, man. That's great. So, well, guys, so tell us a little bit more about what's on the horizon. Again, you guys are moving with a lot of momentum here. So, and if I understood correctly, if I recall from previous conversations, I think the goal is maybe to possibly kind of get back here into the States. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So we wrapped up here in the next year and a half. Not sure where we're going next. I mean, we will end up back in Colorado at some point. And that's where kind of I'll continue teaching at the Air Force Academy, and then I'll finish out my military career there. And I'll have like 7 years left total from now. So like 6 years after we're done here. So looking forward to that. But I'll announce it publicly here. So since Susie's leaving her job on Tuesday, and I officially signed over everything to her.
Yeah.
The majority of the business is now female owned, and she is the CEO. So
nice.
She was already the CEO, yeah, Michael. Whether you,
I just made it official, you know.
That's funny,
but yeah, our goal was to close on 4 properties this year. We do have the 4th property already under contract, which is going to double our portfolio. So we're excited about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we'd love to take down one more in Q4 this year, but our goal was to close on 3. Now we're going to close on 4, and yeah, next year we're probably double that. So
yeah, just try to impact as many residents as we can.
Yeah,
that's super exciting. And listen, I don't see there's any way of you guys being stopped, especially when you guys get back in the States. I mean, you being able to take those systems, that framework that you put in place now, and then be even in closer proximity. Oh man, the sky's going to be a limit for you guys. So
yeah,
super excited for you guys. Congratulations on all the success so far, and really looking forward to continue watching your growth and success. And I mean, listen, Brian, we picked up some really big nuggets here, man. We've systems and framework, being intentful in your branding and messaging, pivoting instead of panicking. I love that. And then, you know, just identifying your superpowers and really leveraging those for a team. Anything else I missed?
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome.
Pivot, don't panic is like my mantra this year. So,
yep.
Love it. That's like a cool hashtag that you should almost wear, put on your branding or something. But
right.
Well, cool, guys. Well, before we take off here, I've got a couple more questions for you to wrap up, and then we'll end the show there. But, you know, one thing that we love to learn from all of our guests is, what are you guys doing for your continued education to further your own investing?
Oh, gosh, that's like endless. I mean, we continue to like just read as much as we can, listen to podcasts as much as we can. You know, we've joined a Raise Master, so that's been huge in our education. I mean, I constantly try to find like different groups for asset management so that we can get better in that realm. We are going to in-person conferences this year and next year. So that's a great way, you know, just super excited about that. But I think the biggest thing with the education part though is consistency, because if you read something and put it down for a month, it left your brain, you know? So like just continue all the time. And that's what it is for us. So yeah. You have more.
I was just gonna say education plus taking action. You have to do both. You can't just educate and not do anything with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, they say knowledge is power, but knowledge is only potential power.
Oh, I love that one.
I love it.
Love it. Yeah, that's good. All right, guys, looking back on your business, what was the one defining moment or event in your business that changed the trajectory?
It's when we met our mentor.
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely like the fuel, the kerosene to our fire.
Yeah, just a lot of confidence was built with those calls.
We talk about it all the time, man. You don't understand how powerful having those mentors can be. And you know, not only from your acceleration of your success, but man, really to help you avoid a lot of expensive mistakes that you can make.
Which earned up more than what the mentor would have cost. I mean, ours was organic, so it was free, but some people pay for mentors, you know, and that mistake can cost way more than that mentor ever would have.
That is so true. That is so true. Absolutely. You can't look at it as a cost. You're making an investment in yourself and your success. So I agree with that. What would be one piece of advice you would give to listeners to help them grow their businesses?
Yeah, I got this.
He's got a good
So I'll be quick with this. So the biggest thing that we're doing, and we're still doing constantly on a daily basis, a weekly basis at least, is what we did was write down everything we're doing all day for like 2 weeks, right? Like, so like we use this app called Toggle, and you can toggle and you can write down like what you're doing and you can find out how much time you're spending on certain aspects, right? But if you start seeing certain things pop up over and over and over again that are like $10, $15, $20 tasks, right? Like put all those into Asana or some project management tool as a task, right? So write down everything that you're doing in there that you don't want to do anymore or that you find that you're repetitively doing that you can hand off to somebody else. That's where I'm getting with this. So put those tasks in Asana and then go and create Loom video. So Loom is like this online, there's other tools as well, online video recording, and you can record your desktop and record yourself doing those tasks, right? And then test them out on your business partner or your spouse or whatever. Make sure that it makes sense. And then they could follow the instructions on there. And then what you do is you go and you hire somebody to do all those tasks for you. Not only does that free up so much time, here we go, taking it full circle, right?
Yeah.
Free up so much time for you, but you're also, you know, allowing yourself to be more creative in the future.
I'd imagine what it's allowing you to do, right, is it's allowing you to focus on the things that you're good at and your skill set that's going to move your business forward while you're not getting inundated in those day-to-day tasks. All right.
Absolutely. If I pass away tomorrow, whatever, now Susie can go in and she can do the tasks that I've done, right? Like somebody could pick up and carry the torch forward. Our business would continue forward because we have all this documented. So that is like the ultimate systems and processes right there.
Replicatable, duplicatable systems that can be delegated. Great advice, man. I love it. Love it. Love it. Awesome, man. Well, tell the listeners how they can learn more about you guys and get connected with you.
Yeah. So the easiest way is for them to go to adventurousrei.com/info. And I know that sounds really impersonal or whatever, but it's the easiest way to remember how to get there. It's a landing page on our website, but there you can find more about Returnal Impact. You can read more about that. You can find our podcast, The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor, which talk about how people are making impact in real estate. And you can find our YouTube channel, which we have, you know, impact investing things on there, as well as getting started in multifamily videos as well. And then you can also connect with Susie and I on LinkedIn, all on that one page there. Again, that's adventurousrei.com/info. And if you connect with us on LinkedIn, make sure that you say, I heard you on Cody and Brian's podcast, and we will definitely accept that connection.
Awesome. We appreciate that, man. Well, guys, this has been such a great conversation. Again, congratulations to all the success. Looking forward to continue to watch you guys rise to the top here, and appreciate you tuning in with us today.
Absolutely. It's such a pleasure, Cody and Brian. And, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So much fun.
Thanks again, guys. Yeah.
Today's episode was proudly brought to you by Blue Oak Capital. To learn more about Blue Oak Capital and how you can partner with us, visit www.blueoakinvests.com. Tune in next time.